been between us. It had been between me and the stranger at the bar. Did Nate and I have to pretend now to get each other off? And what did that mean? Was our emotional connection so screwed that we needed this? Part of me knew I was being overly concerned. Nate and I had used fantasy in our sex life for a long time. Why was it bothering me so much now? Because that was before he pulled away from me. Did he now need the anonymity? Did he need to pretend I was someone else so he could fuck me wildly? Nate must have sensed the change in my body because he lifted his head and whispered against my mouth. Are you cold? I nodded, not wanting to speak the truth, and my husband gently slid out of me and lowered me to the ground. A minute ago, I hadn't been aware of the chill in the air in the alley at all, but now that Nate mentioned it, I shivered as I listened to him zip up his trousers. I lost my knickers, I whispered, feeling stupidly vulnerable as I pushed my hem down and then pulled my bra and dress up.
Do you want me?
Forget them. Who knew it was on that ground? As reality came flooding back, I just wanted out of there. Thankfully, Nate didn't waste much time moving us along. He grabbed my hand and led me out until we were back on the quiet street, this time heading toward the boardwalk, toward the inn. After a few moments of silence, my husband squeezed my hand.
You okay?
I gave him a bland smile, not missing the concern in his expression. I'm good. You? His eyes narrowed.
Well, I was a few minutes ago after having the best fucking orgasm I can remember having. But now, not so much. What's going on with you?
Nothing, I tried to assure him. That was great.
We've been together for 14 years, babe. I know when you're lying.
He let go of my hand and came to a standstill in the middle of the tree-lined street.
What is going on?
My stomach dropped at the thought of confronting him about the distance between us. Nothing.
Nothing?
He suddenly got in my face.
Was it nothing when you told me that you thought your husband wouldn't care if a stranger was fucking you? Because the answer there, Lev, was supposed to be, yeah, baby, it would drive him over the edge. And I was supposed to answer in kind by fucking you hard to illustrate the fact that the thought of any other man touching you would drive me over the fucking edge. Instead, you said I wouldn't care. What the fuck was that?
He was saying fuck a lot, which meant he was really mad. I was just changing it up. It got the same result, didn't it? I gave him a cocky smile I didn't feel. You screwed my brains out, as promised. Nate's gaze sharpened with concern as he reached out to cut my cheek in his hand. His thumb caressed my cheekbone as he stared deep into my eyes.
Then why do you look like you want to cry, babe?
And just like that, my tears spilled over. I yanked my head away and made to move, but he wouldn't let me.
Olivia!
Nate pulled me back toward him.
Jesus, you're scaring me!
I tried to push out of his arms, but his hold around my waist was solid. My vision blurred as I attempted to blink away the tears and failed. Let's just go back to the inn. My voice sounded shaky.
Not until you tell me what's going on.
He gave me a little jerk, forcing my gaze up to his.
We shouldn't have done that, I blurted.
Done what? Sex in an alley?
I shook my head. No. Pretend to be strangers. His features hardened.
Why not?
I thought about lying again, about keeping this to myself and burying my head in the sand. But I realized that would make me like Nate. And if the two of us stopped communicating, it was surely the end of the road entirely. Things aren't right between us. And pretending to be other people in order to get turned on by each other was stupid and damaging. Abruptly, he let me go, and I tottered on my wedged heel. Anger darkened his gaze.
You needed to believe I was a stranger to get turned on?
No. You did.
Who fucking says so?
He yelled. I glanced around, making sure we were alone, and then hissed,
Keep your voice down.
It was the wrong thing to say. Nate stormed away from me, heading toward the inn. For a moment, I could only watch him, my heart pounding and hurting in equal measure. Finally, I got myself together and started to follow, wondering why I ever opened my mouth in the first place. I should have kept this shit locked up tight until we were home in Scotland so we could deal with it there. I was so busy looking at my feet, buried in my pain, it took me a minute to realize Nate was striding back toward me. I jerked to a halt as he came at me. Even if he hadn't looked as furious as he did, I would have felt the lash of anger in his tone.
Explain yourself. Now.
Don't talk to me like that.
Liv,
he warned. I glared at him so he would know I was pissed too, but I gave him what he asked for.
You haven't touched me like that in over a year. You haven't wanted me so badly that you would lose control like that with me. And back there,
I gestured behind us.
Didn't feel like you were losing control with me. It felt like you were getting off on pretending you and I didn't even exist and that I was just some random woman you got to fuck in the dark.
He just stared at me. So I said,
It used to feel like a game. A game we were both in on that excited and amused us. That didn't feel like a game back there, Nate. It felt real.
My tears began to fall.
I felt like you were a stranger who looked at me the way my husband used to look at me. And all I kept thinking was, why doesn't my husband look at me like that anymore? And why won't he talk to me like he used to?
Because I'm terrified.
He bit out immediately. I grew still, wary, and unsure.
Terrified?
Petey died so suddenly.
His words were so coarse with pain, they hurt as they met my ears.
Just fucking died, Liv. One second here, the next gone. We're not getting any younger. And everything he was, it just doesn't exist anymore. I've tried so hard to get over my shite that started when Alana died. And I thought I had. Until Petey. After he died. After he died, I couldn't. I kept having these dreams that it was you in his place. You kept dying in my fucking nightmares, and I couldn't do anything to stop it. You were just gone. Everything you were. Gone. What if I lost you, Liv?
My husband's lips trembled, his eyes wet, and he looked away, blinking fast, trying to mask his emotion that pierced my heart.
How do I go on? How would I know how to breathe in and breathe out in a world where you didn't exist?
My tears fell fast and free now, the pain in his words causing my throat to close. Somehow I voiced my reply.
So you thought putting distance between us would make it easier?
He looked back at me sadly.
I don't know what I was thinking. I really don't. I didn't even realize I'd been doing it until I overheard you talking to Joe. Then I was terrified of losing you in a different way.
So you booked this vacation?
He nodded.
I can't lose you, babe. You take my soul with you.
I burst into harsh sobs and immediately found myself wrapped in my husband's arms. He held me so tight, it was almost painful. But I didn't care. All I cared about was that he was finally talking to me. And the distance between us was because he loved me too fucking much. I lifted my head and kissed his throat before moving up to his mouth. He kissed me back with as much fervor, probably tasting my tears on his lips. When I finally pulled back, I stared into his beloved face and whispered, You can't live your life in fear of something bad happening to me, Nate.
I know that. His fingers bit into my hips. I'm trying.
Why didn't you just tell me this instead of making me go crazy and then imagining you needed to get off to the idea I was someone else entirely, why we have fantasy sex?
He grinned at my angry question, which did not help with my anger.
Nate!
I slapped my hand down on his shoulder. Finally, he stopped smiling long enough to give me an answer.
I didn't want you to think we were back to where we once were. Like how I was about Alana.
I don't think that, I promised him. It's not the same, at all, but...
But? He looked wary.
Maybe it would be a good idea for you to talk to someone.
Do you mean a therapist?
Maybe, yeah.
Nate shook his head.
I know you mean well, babe, but I'm not talking to a therapist.
But maybe you should tell someone about these feelings.
I just did. I told my wife.
That was true. I leaned in to kiss him. It was meant to be soft, quick, and sweet. But Nate held me closer, turning it deep, drugging, and needy. When I finally came up for air, I said breathlessly,
Fine, but you have to promise to keep talking to me. Anytime you feel those fears overwhelming you, baby, I want to know. I want to know so I can screw those fears right out of you and remind you of what we have right now.
His fingers bit into my hip again as his eyes flared.
Have I told you lately how perfect you are?
I smiled.
Don't tell me. Show me.
My husband accepted that challenge, grabbing my hand and marching us back to the inn, so he could show me just how freaking perfect he thought I was. Chapter 10. Around 4 o'clock in the morning, I slipped out of our bed at the inn to use the bathroom, feeling my way in the dim light. I tried to be as quiet as possible, because we'd only drifted to sleep a few hours ago. When we'd gotten back to our room, Nate had wasted no time making love to me. It had been beautiful. And yet, as I stepped out of the bathroom, I felt my lower belly squeeze with desire at the sight of my husband sprawled naked across the big bed. He had pushed off the sheets, so they were only pulled up to halfway across his ass. I wanted to pull the sheets down farther and bite him. How is it possible that I had the energy to want sex with him again? I didn't know. I hadn't felt this insatiable toward him since we'd first started having sex. Only a few weeks ago, the thought of waking Nate up to make love to him filled me with trepidation. Worried he'd be agitated I was interrupting his sleep. Now, I wasn't worried. I decided from now on my husband was going to get a daily reminder why his life was freaking beautiful and that he needed to enjoy it rather than fear losing it. On that note, I pulled off my nightgown and climbed onto the bed. I crawled up his legs and pressed my lips to one cheek of his ass while I squeezed the other cheek. He grunted in his sleep. So I licked him from the bottom of his spine up his back. He groaned.
Liv?
I pressed my breasts against his back and kissed his shoulder, my hair falling across his face.
I need you to turn over so I can make love to you, I whispered.
Did you just kiss my arse?
His amused, sleepy rumble did nothing to alleviate my need for him. I giggled. You're lucky that's all I did. I want to bite that ass every time I see it.
Well, for future reference.
He began to turn, and I leaned back to let him.
You can bite my arse anytime you please.
Lying on his back, Nate stared up at me with an adorable mix of sleepiness and desire, and he smoothed his hands up my naked thighs.
What do you want to do with me?
In answer, I slid back down his body.
Liv.
He groaned as my head dipped, his semi-hard erection straining to full salute as it comprehended my intent. His scorching hardness passed between my lips, and I felt his thighs tense under my fingertips. My tongue trailed along a vein on the underside of his cock, and his breathing stuttered before seeming to stop entirely as I began to suck, bobbing my head so my mouth slid excruciatingly slowly up and down his length.
Oh, fuck. I wish I'd been lying on my back and you woke me up like this, he hissed, flexing his hips into my mouth.
That would have been nice, but that didn't mean this wasn't just as nice. After a little more teasing, I began to suck him hard and gazed at him from under my lashes, growing slick with arousal as I watched Nate grab the pillow behind his head. He fisted it, baring his teeth, his chest heaving as I took him toward climax. Just as I felt him drawing close, I released him.
Babe, what are you doing?
He asked, sounding more than put out. I want you inside me when you come, I explained. He instantly stopped looking put out.
Then get the fuck up here and ride me.
I smiled at his eagerness. Patience. The anticipation was a total turn-on as I kissed the sexy cut of definition in his hip, my lips tracing a path along his torso as I crawled up his body, knees on either side of his hips. I shivered as I felt his dick against my inner thigh. I pressed my lips over his right nipple, my tongue flicking, my moan muffled against his body as I felt his rough hands cup my breasts, my own nipples pebbling, eager for his touch. When his thumbs brushed them, I shuddered, a sigh escaping from between my lips.
You were made for me, Liv,
Nate murmured in reverence, squeezing my nipples between his fingers and thumbs. I barely had time to recover from the streaks of white-hot lightning that shot toward my groin before his right hand coasted down my stomach, heading between my legs. As two fingers slid into my slick passage, my back arched, giving his left hand better access to my breast, and my hips surged against his right.
Get on my cock, babe, before I come on your belly, he said, gripping my hips so tightly.
How can it still be this way?
I panted, as I wrapped my hand around his dick and guided him to my entrance, the muscles in my legs shaking with need.
How can you still make me lose my mind wanting you, needing you?
I slammed down on him, and we both cried out, Nate's hips jerking up in reaction.
Because, he groaned. We're the luckiest buggers that ever did live.
Yeah, we were. We found a tantalizing rhythm quickly, and with my hands braced on the bed beside his thighs, I leaned back slightly so his dick thrust into me at the most satisfying angle. I moved slowly, building toward climax. My gaze never left Nate's face as I moved, feeling euphoric because once again I felt sexy and powerful under his glittering expression, watching the way his dark eyes drank in my breasts as they bounced, my hair swinging across my back. His hands gripped my hips, urging me on, his jaw clenched as the heat between us increased and a light sheen of sweat coated our skin. As I approached orgasm, all I was aware of was the coiling pleasure low in my belly, the sound of my uncontrolled breaths and mews of pleasure, the intoxicating smell of sex. Pure bliss took me over, and I closed my eyes, reveling in it as my body moved faster up and down Nate's length, rushing toward climax. Lights exploded behind my lids as my orgasm shook through my entire body. My muscles clenched around my husband, wave after wave of pleasure pulsing around his dick. Cool air whipped over my skin as Nate flipped me to my back, something my husband always did if I came first riding him. I gloried in the familiar pressure of him pinning me to the mattress, holding my hands above my head. Nate's features were strained with desire, and as he crushed his mouth against mine, he began to stroke deep inside me, his movements rough and hard. He groaned into my mouth, the noise vibrating through my whole body, and I felt the stirring of another orgasm. When his lips left mine, I stared up in awe, our gasps seeming to echo all around us as I pushed up against his thrusts. He let go of one of my arms, his hand disappearing between our joined bodies, and as soon as his thumb pressed down on my clit, I flew apart. I cried out as I came. Again. Freaking again.
Liv! Fuck! God! Fuck!
Nate grunted out, seeming just as surprised as he came long and hard. He collapsed on me, his face buried in the crook of my neck, his hand relaxing around my arm. His dick throbbed inside me, and I enjoyed the lingering pleasure it brought.
That was a record, right? I gasped out. Seriously?
Fuck, was all he managed. Jesus, fuck. We still got it.
I giggled because he sounded smug as hell. Yeah, baby. We've still got it. Chapter 11. Ice cream dripped down my fingers as it quickly melted under the heat of the afternoon sun. Today was definitely the hottest day of our vacation, and we decided it was just too hot to do anything but lie on the beach. However, Nate and I tended to get bored. Lounging around was great for a few hours while we caught up on our reading, but then our minds started to wander. I think we were just so used to racing after kids and working all the time that it was hard to be truly at rest. After I suggested we give up our beach loungers and head to Antonio's for ice cream, we did just that, walking along the boardwalk hand in hand, trying to lick our dessert before it became nothing but a sticky mess on our fingers. Contentment shimmered through me as we strolled. The last 10 days had been miraculous. And even though I couldn't wait to see my girls, I was also grateful for this vacation with my husband. It felt like we were in an even better place than we had been before our disconnect. It was almost like being together for the first time all over again.
Wedding.
What? I wrinkled my nose at the random word Nate had uttered. He lifted our joined hands and used them to gesture ahead of us. I followed the direction and stilled at the sight up ahead. Standing outside Paradise Sands Hotel was a bridal party.
How did we miss that?
Now Nate pointed to our right toward Main Street, and sure enough, somehow we'd missed the wedding ceremony. The bandstand was decorated, and there were rows and rows of seats in front of it, where guests were still lingering. The bridal party was following a photographer as the guests slowly made their way onto the boardwalk. I forgot Bailey mentioned there was a wedding reception at Vaughn's Hotel this week, I said. She told us at the beginning of the week.
I remember. Nice place for a wedding.
Beautiful, I agreed. I love weddings. Nate squeezed my hand.
It was a wedding that brought you and me together.
We shared a secret smile, remembering how if it wasn't for me getting wasted at Joss and Brayden's wedding and admitting to Nate I hadn't had sex in years, his sex lessons would never have happened, and we might never have fallen in love. We watched the guests start to pick up speed as it seemed the photographer was done with the photographs for now, and everyone began to head into Vaughn's hotel. Dinner time, toasts, those are the best.
Fancy going?
I made a face at my husband. What? He shrugged.
In a few hours, dinner will be over, and everyone will be on the dance floor. Free champagne and canapés.
I giggled, and then realized he was serious. You're not joking?
Nah.
He flashed me those dimples.
Come on, let's crash a wedding.
I can't believe you talked me into this, I said a couple hours later as we walked into the wedding, pretending we belonged there.
The ballroom of the hotel was decorated with strings of fairy lights and pink peonies. The chair covers were white with pale pink bows on them, and the centerpieces were tall, thin vases filled with pink peonies. People paid no attention to the couple walking in who did not belong there, and a passing waiter offered us a glass of champagne. Nate smirked at me as we took one.
"Free champagne,"
he said under his breath. "Where are the canapés?" I said, not under my breath, searching the room.
"Buffet table."
Nate nodded to the right, where crowds of people had gathered near a table strewn with after-dinner snacks. We'd already eaten, but neither of us was going to turn down free food. My friends had bought me a teal print maxi dress with a halter neck, a deep-cut back, and a beautiful flowing skirt. Matched with silver sandals and my hair pinned up, I could pull it off as a summer wedding outfit. Nate wore a crisp white shirt, suit pants, and his dress shoes. My husband, of course, could wear anything and look like he belonged. Handsome bastard. I nestled into his side as he led me over to the buffet table and began to fill up a plate for me before he got his own. As we stood, munching on free food and looking at the full ballroom, I felt the urge to burst into immature giggles and stopped myself. We were crashing a wedding, for God's sake. Our gazes met, and we shared a silly grin, clearly thinking the same thing. The smile was knocked off my face when someone bumped into me, nearly sending my plate of snacks flying.
"Oh my goodness, I'm so sorry."
A tall, slender woman in a pink bridesmaid dress held up her hands in horror.
"I didn't spill anything on your dress, did I?"
"No, I'm good. It's okay," I assured her. The guy at her side smiled apologetically.
"We've had a little too much champagne. Thought we'd come over and eat something."
"By we, he means me." She rolled her eyes. Nate and I smiled congenially. The bridesmaid looked over Nate for a moment in a speculative way.
"You've never met, I would remember. How do you know Angel? Or are you friends with Mark?"
Her companion raised an eyebrow at the somewhat flirtatious tone, but let it slide. Nate stepped closer to me. We knew from the signs outside the ballroom that we were crashing Angel and Mark Ashley's big night.
"I used to work with Mark a few years ago. They invited us to the reception."
"Oh my gosh, I love your accent," she said, distracted. "Where are you from?"
"Originally Scotland."
"How cool is that?"
She turned to her guy. He gave her a teasing smile.
"Very cool. Now, let's get you something to eat."
"Find me later," she gestured to us. "I've never met a Scottish person before."
As soon as they were out of earshot, I turned to Nate. "Your accent is a problem. It makes us stand out."
"Duly noted."
He began shoveling the food on his plate into his mouth. I chuckled. "What are you doing?" He had to swallow a canapé before replying.
"The stuff is good. I'm getting my fill of free food before we have to get out of here."
"And I want one dance before we leave," I said, following suit with the food.
"Anything else?"
"You still haven't stripped naked and dived into the ocean at night, so that's on the agenda." My husband shot me a baleful look.
"Fine. But to heat up, I'm making love to you on the beach after."
Arousal shot through me. Absolutely no complaints from me on that one. After we'd eaten, avoiding conversation with anyone else, Nate took my hand and led me onto the busy dance floor. I relaxed into his arms and followed his easy sway, loving that my husband was such a natural dancer. The solid feel of him against me, his arms wrapped around me, was the only thing in the world that made me feel utterly safe and protected. We held on to each other, dancing slowly to Chasing Cars by Snow Patrol. And as always when I was with him like this, I forgot where we were, or that anything but Nate existed. After a few dances, Nate kissed my nose and whispered,
"I'm ready to leave this wedding behind, babe. Why don't you grab another champagne? It's free, after all, for the both of us, while I nip to the men's room."
I nodded, watching him stride out of the ballroom with his easy gait, before I sauntered back over toward the buffet area where there was a table filled with flutes of champagne. As I was collecting two glasses, I felt the heat of someone at my back. I glanced up to find a tall blonde grinning down at me. He was cute in an edgy surfer boy way, and at least 10 years my junior. I raised an eyebrow, wondering why he was just standing there smiling. Champagne? I asked, thinking maybe that was what he was after.
Sure, thanks.
He took it, while I grabbed another one for Nate.
I'm Greg.
I looked back up at him. He was taller than Nate, probably about the same height as Brayden and Logan.
Liv. Friend of the bride or groom?
The groom. My husband used to work with Mark. I lied easily. Something akin to disappointment crossed young Greg's face.
Oh, so that was your husband you were dancing with?
He'd been watching me?
Yep. Shame that.
This time I realized his grin was flirtatious.
It would have been nice to get to know you.
I had to admit I was a little thrilled by the admiration. He was a lot younger than me, and cute. But still, my husband just happened to be hotter, sexier, and the most wonderful father in the whole wide world. That's sweet, but I am happily married, and a little old for you, I think.
Not at all.
He dismissed my last comment.
I couldn't take my eyes off you.
Well, try.
Nate suddenly appeared at my side, glaring up at my young flirter. He fairly bristled with possessiveness. Was it wrong of me to be thrilled by that, too? Greg stepped back, giving Nate a congenial nod.
No offense meant. You have a beautiful wife.
I saw the muscle in Nate's jaw twitch, but he controlled his annoyance and just nodded.
I know that. Not too thrilled about strange men flirting with her, though. So if you're done...
In other words, fuck off.
Nate,
I warned him under my breath. But thankfully, my would-be surfer boy charmer didn't take Nate's rudeness to heart. He seemed amused by it, lifting his champagne glass to us before turning on his heel and sauntering off, presumably to find someone else to flirt with.
Time to go.
Nate took the glass of champagne out of my hand and tossed it back in one gulp. I did the same, just in time, before I found myself being dragged out of the ballroom.
I can't bloody leave you alone for a minute,
he huffed as he pushed open one set of the double doors.
He meant no harm.
Aye,
he grumbled.
I didn't even consider him for a second, I added. You know I only see you. I only ever want you.
Nate stopped in the foyer of the hotel and looked back at me. His whole face softened.
You really mean that?
I nodded, hoping he felt my sincerity. It was true. While I could recognize that other men were attractive, they didn't elicit a sexual response in me. No one but my husband did it for me.
In. Now. Sex.
My lips trembled with laughter at his sudden caveman dialogue, but instead of agreeing, I shook my head. Sorry, babe. You still have a bet to fulfill.
You're really going to make me do this?
Nate asked as we rounded the corner on the beach to a more secluded spot, as far away from the boardwalk as we could get. The moon bathed the sand and the water with its luminosity, providing us with an ethereal light as the ocean breeze caused my dress to twist around my legs. I shivered, knowing it was going to be freezing out there. But so far, this vacation had been an adventure I wouldn't forget. And I didn't want to stop throwing caution to the wind. In this case, almost literally. My answer to Nate's question was to grab the skirts of my dress and pull them up, lifting the whole thing over my head and laying it out on the sand like a blanket. I grinned at my husband's look of surprise, shivering in nothing but my bra, knickers, and sandals.
I'm making you do it, but not on your own.
I reached down to undo the straps on my sandals.
You're fucking crazy,
he chuckled, quickly unbuttoning his shirt.
Hurry!
I jumped from one foot to the other to keep warm. It wasn't cold up by the boardwalk, but the breeze coming right in off the ocean, the one that had been soothing during the hot day, was now chilly in the dark of night.
Bra and knickers off,
Nate said, removing his boxer briefs.
Only fair,
I divested myself of them and felt my nipples harden immediately. My husband groaned, focused completely on my breasts.
Can we just skip the water part and go straight to the sex part?
You're not going to welch on a bet, are you? He made a face, but grabbed my hand.
You ready for this?
I nodded. Even though my stomach was fluttering, it was going to be painfully cold. Plus, despite feeling secluded, this was a public beach. If we got caught, it was a crime. The thought sent a little thrill down my spine. Let's do it. Sucking in our breaths, we ran into the ocean together, both of us inhaling sharp gasps as the ice-cold water surrounded us.
Fuck!
Nate bit out as we broke hands to jump around like we just stepped onto hot coals.
Fuck, fuck, fuck! Ugh, it's fucking Baltic!
I didn't even say anything. I couldn't. The words had frozen inside of me.
Bad idea. Bad, bad idea. Worst idea ever.
I turned right back around and got the hell out of there. The relief of being out of the water was intense. But my whole body was shaking, even though it had had a mere few seconds in the sea. I'd almost reached my dress when strong arms wrapped around me, and I found myself flying through the air, landing on the hard, muscular body of my husband. He immediately flipped us, so I was on my back on top of my dress.
There is only one way to warm up, babe.
I raised my arms above my head, my fingers sliding through cold sand, my breasts arching up in invitation.
I'm all yours, baby.
Nate sat back to enjoy the view. His hooded eyes drifted down my body, and I lowered my gaze to see that his dick, which seconds before had been subdued by freezing cold water, was beginning to swell and strain toward his hard stomach.
What did I do to deserve you, Liv? Who else would jump into a Baltic Ocean with me? And then lie like a live Botticelli on a public beach, not caring about anything but having my cock inside you.
No one else would. Now stop ogling and service me. I giggled, shifting my hips, trying to get him to do something. We were, after all, on a public beach. But I knew instantly that Nate wasn't in the mood to make this quick, despite our risque location. Heat flashed through me immediately, knowing the signs, his intent. Nate wanted to draw this out, savor it. He placed his hands on my knees, his thumbs on the inside of my legs, and he slowly coasted them upward. My breath left me, and then he reached the apex of my thighs, but he kept going, his thumbs meeting in the middle over my clit. I gasped as he pressed his thumbs down and rubbed, and my hips arched, sliding off the dress and the grainy sand at my back. Nate's eyes flew to mine, then desire and satisfaction moved through his expression as he watched my arousal increase with the circular motion of his thumbs. His lips parted, his chest rising and falling faster, as we stared at each other like two people who were starving. The whole world seemed to fall away. I was barely cognizant of the sand beneath me, or the rush of the sea waves at Nate's back, or the smell of salt in the air. All I could see was my husband. All I could feel were his thumbs, his body above mine, and all I could smell was the aftershave I bought him every Christmas. I wet my dry lips with my tongue as my eyes dipped to his dick, swollen, purple-red, and jutting out between his muscular thighs. Would I ever get tired of looking at my beautiful husband? No, I really didn't think I would. My sex swelled, and a little huff of excitement escaped me. Hearing it, Nate's cock jerked, and he blew my mind by speaking what had just been on mine.
I don't think I'll ever tire of looking at you, Liv. Not ever.
He stared into my now watery eyes as he smoothed his hand up my naked thigh.
Yes,
I whispered, not even knowing what I was saying yes to. It was more of a plea, really.
Look at all those goosebumps, he whispered, eyeing my breasts and hard nipples. So gorgeous. You're driving me mad. I just want to touch you all the time.
His fingers slipped down my body and inside me. My inner muscles clamped around him, in desperate need. Nate groaned.
I'm so glad you feel the same way.
I huffed, feeling breathless.
Are you deliberately torturing me?
He gave me a cocky smile and those sexy dimples.
You were the one who said anticipation makes for a better orgasm.
Right? Now, I just want to orgasm, period. Please, baby.
His mood seemed to change at my plea, and I waited breathlessly as he straddled me, gently taking each of my wrists in his hands and pinning them down in the sand at either side of my head. I felt overwhelmed by him in the best possible way.
Good things come to those who wait, my darling, he murmured.
And then he kissed me deeply. His tongue pushed between my lips and slid over mine, dancing with it in a dirty, wet kiss. My hips pulsed toward him at the feel of his hard dick rubbing against my belly. And then he was gone, taking his mouth from mine as his grip on my wrists loosened. His fingers trailed teasingly down the soft skin of my inner arm, under my arms, and down the sides of my breasts as he stopped to pay attention to them.
Sometimes I sit at the dinner table, trying to concentrate on the girls telling me about their day, when all I can think about are your fantastic bloody tits and these long fucking legs wrapped around me. Does that make me a terrible father?
I turned to mush, right there in the sand.
No. And for future reference, once the girls are in bed, you are permitted to have your way with my fantastic bloody tits and long fucking legs.
He grinned, but his eyes grew hooded with lust.
Suck these pretty nipples, you mean?
Yes,
I breathed. Desire flooding my stomach. I arched my hips into his tantalizing touch.
Lick them.
Uh-huh.
A dark heat entered his expression.
Come on them.
A pulse of lust slammed through me.
Nate, please.
He positioned his dick between my legs and pressed against me, ferocious desire written all over him.
The next time the girls are away on a sleepover, the first thing I'm doing is fucking those tits, Liv.
Soaked, lost entirely in my desire for him, I tried to push against his hold on my wrists, wanting to touch him. Like I'll ever say no to you. Tenderness swept through his aroused expression.
I'm a lucky son of a bitch, aren't I, baby?
We're both lucky. I'll feel even luckier if you actually thrust your beautiful dick inside of me instead of teasing me, I gasped, impatient. I felt the rumble of his laughter, and then I felt nothing but the heat of his mouth as he wrapped it around my left nipple and sucked. Hard. My body writhed, bucking into him, and I struggled against his hold again.
Ugh, let me touch you, I pleaded.
Nate immediately let me go so I could reach for him, and as he turned his attention to my other breast, I moved my hands to his shoulders, stroking his smooth, damp skin, droplets of water tickling my fingertips. And then I curled my fingers tightly into his soft, dark hair as he tormented my nipples until they were swollen, painful buds. There was a possibility I was going to come with just his mouth on me, and that would be a first.
Baby,
I begged, tugging hard on his hair. Nate didn't stop the torment, however. His lips traveled down my stomach, his tongue licking my belly button before moving south. My lower belly rippled in a mini orgasm as the dark sky and sparkling stars were suddenly all I could see, and I was jolted back into the reality that my husband was about to go down on me on a beach where anyone might stumble upon us. Another ripple of excitement moved through me, and I automatically opened my legs and heard his grunt of satisfaction seconds before his tongue touched my clit. Need slammed through me, and my hips pushed into his mouth. He gripped them, pressing them back into the dress over the sand. And then my husband proved that he was a master with his mouth. He suckled my clit, pulling on it hard. Knowing me, knowing my body and what got me off. He listened to my harsh, shallow breaths, knew what the change in rhythm in my undulating hips meant, and stopped. I cried out in frustration. Hate! His grip on my hips became almost bruising. And then his tongue was back, this time licking inside me. I writhed, wanting all of him, every inch, everything. Hearing my whimpers, he returned to my clit and gently pushed two fingers inside of me. Mother of God! I jerked against him.
Good?
He asked, stopping all movement. I looked down at him in frustrated horror. Are you nuts? If you stop again, Nate Sawyer, I will divorce you. I felt the huff of his laughter on my hip. I wasn't amused. Seriously? You have 2 seconds to fuck me. His laughter slowly dissipated as he sat up, straddling me. He held my gaze as he took his dick in hand and began to stroke himself. His pleasure-filled eyes narrowed on me. I had a sudden image of him coming all over my breasts. Nate. Whatever he heard in my voice made him stroke himself harder, the muscle in his jaw ticking, his hips pumping into his hand.
Beg me, Liv.
I didn't need to be asked twice. Fuck me, baby, I whispered. Please. He let go of his dick, braced himself over me, one hand beside my head in the sand, and he curled his other around my thigh, opening me, and thrust inside me. Hard. I gasped out his name in pleasure, our eyes held as my breath scattered, and he moved inside me in thick, rough, fierce strokes. The love in both our eyes only heightened our arousal, and it didn't take long for the tension inside of me to reach the breaking point, to shatter explosively, overwhelmingly. Nate! I cried, my eyes rolling back in my head as my inner muscles clamped around my husband's dick. I was barely aware of my fingernails digging into the muscles of his back as the pleasure pulsed through what felt like every piece of me. It felt like it was never going to end, the ripples of my climax pulsing and pulsing around him. Nate's hips slammed hard against mine, and he tensed, seconds before he throbbed and flooded inside of me.
Liv, Jesus, God!
He came almost as hard as me, and then buried his face in my neck, trying to catch his breath. We both were. I kept my arms wrapped tight around him, my fingernails having lost their hold on him, thankfully. As always, I luxuriated in the feel of his heavy body over mine, never failing to appreciate the fact that this beautiful, kind, funny man was my husband. It had been so painful to feel disconnected from him that the euphoria of feeling closer to him than ever was almost too beautiful to bear. I pulsed around him at the thought, a little aftershock, and he lifted his head to give me a lazy, satisfied, loving smile. In answer to that smile, I kissed him, a soft yet still hungry kiss, pouring all my love into it. He kissed me in return, and I rolled, forcing him onto his back in the sand. His hands caressed my shoulders, my hair, my ass, as we kissed, and I writhed against him, needing more, wanting him hard again, ready.
I'm not in my 20s anymore, he said, his voice rumbling with desire and amusement.
I didn't listen to him. Instead, I explored, touching, tasting, smoothing the coarse grains of sand off his skin. When I bent my head to his dick, he inhaled in surprise. Right there, with the sea breeze blowing my hair around my shoulders and caressing my naked skin, I sat on a dark, moonlit beach and sucked my husband like he was a lollipop, getting him hard and ready for round two. He moaned in displeasure as I released him from the wet heat of my mouth. "Tit for tat," I whispered. This time, I tormented and explored him, the hard planes of his muscles, the heat and sea salt on his skin. And then I straddled him, taking every inch of his beauty inside of me. I rode him. I rode him slowly, feeling his fingers bite into my hips, begging me for more. Frustrated by my decision not to give him more, he sat up abruptly, his strong ab muscles tensing, and he wrapped his arms around my waist, drawing one of my nipples into his mouth. As he laved and sucked and licked me, my rhythm increased just like he knew it would, until I was gasping and panting, driving down on him hard and fast. Nate climaxed first, and watching the euphoria slacken his features sent me over the edge. Exhausted, stunningly exhausted, I melted into his embrace.
"I love you so much," I whispered.
His arms tightened around me.
"I love you more."
After a moment of silence, he squeezed me, and I lifted my head in question.
"Look where we are."
He smiled. I glanced over my shoulder at the inky black water rushing closer to shore than it had before we got here.
"I almost forgot."
Looking around us, I was glad to see we were still all alone out here.
"Do you think anyone saw?"
Nate ran his fingers through my hair, pushing the thick locks off my face.
"I couldn't give a shite."
"Me neither." I kissed him softly. "We should probably get back to the inn, though. Wash all this sand off." He nodded, and I carefully lifted off him, smiling smugly at his groan as I did so. Once on our feet, I felt a little wobbly, disoriented. It wasn't every day you had a sex fest on the beach. Dressing quickly, I grabbed my sandals and watched my husband dress. "You're unfairly beautiful," I said as he shrugged on his shirt. He smiled, pleased.
"Pot meat kettle."
I was happy he thought so. Once he was ready, I held out my hand, and he ignored it, preferring to slide his arm around my waist and hug me into his side as we walked. We were quiet as we made our way back around the curve of the beach and within sight of the boardwalk. The crash of the waves, plus the epic orgasms I'd just had, made me sleepy, and I held onto Nate's waist for support as we strolled up the beach.
"Best holiday ever, babe,"
Nate suddenly said. "Yeah," I smiled up into his eyes. "It's going to be hard to top it." I didn't mean it as a challenge, but my husband took it as such.
"Just watch me try,"
he promised. Epilogue. 6 months later. As soon as I walked into the house from a long day at work, I smelled the delicious aromas coming from the kitchen and felt my whole being melt in relaxation. Nate had dinner on, so I didn't have to worry about it. My relaxation lasted 2 seconds.
"Mummy!"
January came flying out of the large living room and threw herself at me as I was kicking my shoes off. I held on to her as I flipped off my right boot with my stockinged left foot.
"What's up, baby girl?"
I asked, feeling her grip on me tighten. My kid bent her head back and glared at me.
"Lily won't come out of her room."
She said this as if it were somehow my fault. Concern surged through me. Lily may be the quieter of my daughters, but she was also social with us. God help me if she was hitting teenagerhood prematurely. I remember locking myself in my room and refusing to spend time with my mom. Then again, that was after I got my period, and I knew my oldest hadn't gotten her period yet. I was dreading it. I didn't want my baby to grow up. "What's wrong with Lily?" I asked, leading Jan down the hall and into the kitchen. Nate was standing at the stove, stirring something in a pot. "What's wrong with Lily?" I repeated to his back. He jerked around, his face lighting up with a big smile, and I watched as he turned down the heat on the stove and crossed the room to me. I leaned in for his kiss, ignoring my kid who squealed that we were gross.
"Babe,"
he murmured, pulling back.
"Glad you're home. I think this is a girl problem."
"Lily?" He nodded, losing his smile.
"After I picked up Jan, we went to get Lily. She wasn't standing with her friends outside, and she slammed the car door when she got in. Wouldn't tell me what was wrong. I got her home, and she ran upstairs and slammed her door. I think she's barricaded it, because Jan tried to get in and it wouldn't budge."
Worry pierced me. "Please do not tell me my kid got her period at school."
"Sorry, babe."
Nate kissed me again.
"Not the best homecoming."
"You're cooking. And you kissed me. Still a good homecoming." I looked down at Jan. "Now, let me go see what's up with your big sis."
"I'm coming,"
Jan said, sticking out her bottom lip stubbornly. "Why don't you wait on me checking out the situation first?" I strode past her, but I had mom eyes on the back of the head and knew she was following me. Upstairs, I made my way over to Lily's bedroom door. She had a poster of the girl band she loved so much on the front of it. I hated their music and the provocative way they dressed, considering most of their fans were my girl's age. I took pleasure in knocking hard on the door, right over the face of the band member who always wore crotch-short dresses. "Lily? Baby? You okay?" I heard a shuffling noise, some clatter, and then the door opened, and my sweet girl's tear-stained face looked up at me.
"Mom?"
My chest ached.
"Baby, what's wrong?"
I pushed the door a little, and she let it give way, and I bent down to wrap my arms around her. I felt her tears on my shoulder, and worry consumed me.
"Baby, please tell me. What's wrong?"
She sniffled.
"Only if Jan goes away."
I lifted my head and glanced over my shoulder to see my little one jut out her chin. I stopped her before she could say anything.
"Just let me talk with your sister first, okay, baby?"
I didn't let her answer, quickly stepping inside Lily's bedroom and letting the door close almost all the way. I knew for a fact Jan probably had her ear right at the gap, but I didn't bother looking around to check. Instead, I led Lily over to her bed and pulled her down beside me. Wiping the tears off her cheeks, I said,
"Tell me what happened."
Her pretty face crumpled again.
"Lucy fancies Devin Carson, and Amanda asked him out for her, but he told Amanda that he fancies me. And now Lucy has turned everyone against me."
Her chest heaved as she struggled to fight her tears.
"All my friends stopped talking to me, Mom, and Lucy spread a rumor that I wet the bed at our last sleepover. They were all laughing at me. I don't even like Devin back."
I bit my lip, anger rushing through me. My kid was only in primary 7, finishing up spring term and getting ready to start her last term before high school after the summer. How is it possible that girls at that age were starting jealousy shit over boys? "I'm going to phone Lucy's mom," I said, hoping I could stop myself from bitching the woman out. What happened to teaching our girls about the sisterhood and not treating each other like crap in competition over boys' attention?
"No, Mom, no,"
Lily said, panicked.
"Yeah, Mummy, no."
Jan came barging into the room. She stopped, legs braced, hands on her hips, and her nose and mouth scrunched in anger. She was so freaking adorable, it took everything within me not to laugh. That only got harder when she shook a fist at us.
I'll punch her face, teach her a lesson.
Where the hell did she get this stuff? Lips straining against an amused expression, I pursed them instead. Baby girl, you know that's not the